Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 198, part 1, A Spiritual Wind. Today is Friday, June 10th, 2011. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. I have a couple quick announcements about Pastor Paul's club. It's located in Disciples Ministries Historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food, you live anywhere in Minnesota, and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, you can call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday to register your household for monthly groceries. Now, Pastor Paul's Club is more than just free groceries once a month. Once you register as a club member, you're able to get free groceries once a month, but you can also pick up free bread every day. You can also purchase foods from Pastor Paul at ridiculously low prices. For instance, Pastor Paul has a lot of perishables, a lot of produce by the case and large quantities. We also have frozen foods by the case and large quantities. And you can purchase those from Pastor Paul's at ridiculously low prices. In fact, Pastor Paul asks that you just bring dollar bills. Anything larger than a 10, he will send you to Vegas. There you go. So dollar bills, you can purchase foods from Pastor Paul every day. And I'm at the grocery counter, so I will be registering you. And what I need you to bring is your picture ID, a current piece of mail to verify your address, and your verification of your household members the first time. You'll fill out a form. You'll be able to get groceries that day. So be sure to check that information out. I have it posted at Pastor Paul's website, which is www.pastorpaul.org. And there's a link in the show notes for that information. Now, about Pastor Paul's podcast, I hope you're listening to part one and part two, the conclusion. Now, they're published on Friday and Sunday, but you know when you subscribe, you'll be able to get the message all the time as soon as it's published, and you can listen anytime you want. So be sure to subscribe to Pastor Paul's podcast. Now, for the month of June, these are the following messages. God's will is your deliverance, a spiritual wind, God's Today, Peter, Do You Love Me? Four messages for the month of June, the beginning of summer. Also, I should mention, when you go to Pastor Paul's website at www.pastorpaul.org, up at the top of the homepage, you're going to find the links to Pastor Paul's podcast, to Pastor Paul's blog, Twitter, Flickr, YouTube. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast. If you go to Pastor Paul's blog, you're going to see the show notes where the scriptures that are in Pastor Paul's messages are located. So scripture links at the blog. Also, if you follow me on Twitter, on Thursdays, I do a live Tweets Inside. When I'm recording Pastor Paul's message in the digital format and then producing this podcast, I am doing live tweets as I listen to Pastor Paul's message. So be sure to check that out. Live Tweets Inside on Thursdays, generally on Thursdays. So if you have any questions, any comments, or you want to make a suggestion or give a testimony, here's the comment line, 1-877-489-0922. And the local number is 612-208-0916. All this information is located at Pastor Paul's blog. Listen, have a great month of June, and we love you listening. And be sure to register your household if you need food at Pastor Paul's Club. God bless you. Have a great month of June. We'll see you back here every week. And be sure to send this podcast to a friend. If you love them, you will send them the podcast. God bless you.
Wind. The wind bloweth where it listeth. That means wishes. And thou hearest the sound thereof. You hear it. But canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. John 3:8. I think our Savior can say more in one sentence than many people who talk on and on and on and on and on. They get all done and they leave us shaking our heads. But Jesus gives us food for thought. You read the Bible and you meditate and you want to get something out of it. You read a verse or a sentence or words. Then you say, Lord, give me your thoughts, your mind on this scripture. But anyway, there is so much in this very verse, we could preach on it for over a year, probably years. And of course, this verse then is speaking of the Holy Spirit. The wind bloweth where it wishes, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it come. And whither it goes, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit, John 3:8. But when we are not mindful of the Spirit of God, when we stop thinking along those lines, you hearing this preacher listening on the radio? We lack power. We have a power deficiency, a power failure. We lack also direction, and like I said Friday night, confusion is our mantle. It's like when you're trying to do someone in and they won't be done in. You get confused, and God says, well, I'll give you a mantle, and it'll be your own confusion. And so we must become very much aware of a move of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus compared the operations and movements of the Holy Spirit to the wind, I thought to myself, over like getting ready for this message, well, what did that show us? First, that they are absolutely, positively needful. It also showed me how indispensable they are. You can't do away with them. I'm talking about the natural wind now in relation to the Holy Spirit. But imagine the natural wind, the world without winds. Imagine how stale it would become and how stagnant, how putrid. There would be no life and there would be no air to breathe. Just dead air. I remember in South Dakota in the plains when they would get hot in the summertime just before storms. Or in Nebraska, sometimes in Minnesota, but in the plains countries, you get very, 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 very quiet. Maybe you were in a movie, then all of a sudden you went in and it was all right, and you came out and everything was still. It was like there was no air movement. How many have experienced that? No air, no wind, and you just kind of come out and said, what's happening? Sort of like the calm before the storm. But think how the world would be with no wind, no movement in the air. And so it is with the church of today without the Holy Spirit. It would be like the world without a wind. It becomes stale, the church does. Now you got to move to make some kind of wind. You got to break the air. It would become stagnant and putrid and lifeless and breathless. Isn't there a song like that? Without a wind, the world would surely stink. Wouldn't it? Without a wind, huh? Without us having the breath of life, how lifeless we are. Should we not plead then to blow whithersoever you want to, Holy Ghost? But blow afresh on me. Wouldn't our church ship lay in water rocking from side to side? No movement, only the creaking of the sails. With no wind. The trees wouldn't clap their hands and they would wither. The bones lying in the dry in the valley would not be quickened. So let us truly recognize the third person in the Trinity and not treat him like an atmosphere. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person for what? For power. Now, the 120 that went to the upper room went up there fearful of the Jews, their own people, and got up there, Mary, the mother of Jesus, being one. And they got up there and they got right by confessing their faults to one another. And that's how we get right, when we just be honest. Well, I guess I wasn't this or that or so on like that. And it was a move of the Holy Spirit. And it says, when they all got right, there was a fire that fell. And they all were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They were filled. And they went out in what? They went out in power. And so let us truly recognize the third person for power, for life, for quickening. Without a quickening of the Holy Spirit, there is nothing done in a ministry. It takes a quickening of the Holy Ghost. Now you get somebody in here that isn't quickened by the Holy Ghost, and you're moving around and you're doing things, and they say, well, they're not quickened by that. And so they have no wind, and they have no air, and they can't breathe, and they can't stand that thing. And they say, why are you so filled up with doing this thing? What's the urgency? Can you explain it? No, because your flesh once in a while feels the same way that they do. And so you say, well, I don't know. It's just something I've been called by the wind. So I think we need to pray every morning for the Holy Spirit to quicken us. Let us recognize the Holy Spirit in our singing. Let us recognize the Holy Spirit in our preaching. If I might, this morning I was reading, and I'll just leave where I'm at right now and go over here because I think it's important to build on this to show how it is when we don't depend on the Holy Spirit. Psalm 78, and let's start in verse 17. And it says, and they sinned yet more. Now they were out in the wilderness. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. You know, when you're in the wilderness in your life, when you're in that dry time in your life, you can sin yet more by provoking the Most High God. And how do you do that? Listen. And they tempted God in their heart by asking for meat for their lust. Here they had everything they needed. Now, they can't tempt God, but they tempted him in their heart. They attempted to tempt. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God... Now, when you speak against God is when you say, you question God. That's speaking against him. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? No. He had taken them out, opened up the Red Sea, took them through. All these people that were their enemies had been buried in the deep. He had furnished them everything that they needed. Their sandals hadn't worn out. I mean, everything was in place. Everything was going for them. He had given manna from heaven, and everything was going for them. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God, and they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness after all of these miracles? Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give us bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? And we're into that right now. Yes, we are. Yes, ministries have run along those lines. Here we have the gospel of Jesus Christ, the bread of life. And we've gotten ourselves into asking God, well, God, you've given us Jesus. What else can you give us? What else is there to give? And so we get in calling for more flesh. Give us flesh. We want flesh. What? God says, I have given you the Spirit. And so whilst we're out there in the wilderness by our own doing, we fall back into the same sand trap. And say, God, I want this, I want that. And we get into the claiming ministries, we get into the prosperity teachings, we get into all that junk. Disregarding the gospel of Jesus Christ altogether. And say, well, can you set us a table? Can you give us flesh? Now listen to what it says. Can he provide flesh for his people? Now that is slandering God right there. Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. Would you be excited if you told if your kids said, now you've given them everything that they need. Are you hearing this? You've given them everything that they need. Food and clothing and all of this. Then you ask the question, but can you do this? Never satisfied. Sometimes you would like to ask people, when will you be satisfied? I mean, when people are, and so-called sometimes spiritual people, are really soulish people that are calling upon God and claiming things for their flesh. Listen. Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth, so a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came upon and against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. Though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven, a move of the Spirit, and rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them the corn of heaven, the word of God. Man did eat angels' food, it goes on. He sent them meat to their full. And that's what's happening right now. Okay? You want Cadillacs, and you want cars, and you want houses, and you want this, and you want that, and you want all this, and you get all, look out here. Look over here in Ethiopia. Look all over, and look at all of the damnation that's going on, and here you are in large groups claiming more flesh. Give us meat. You did that well. God can do it. Sure, let's test him and let's try him and see if he'll do it. Oh, hey. What does that do? That kindles God's anger. Would that make you angry if you had some children? Here was one over here starving. You were coming on, and you were full grown, but you were still kids, and your father was man of substance, and you said, well, hey, we want more. And how about your brother over here? How about the message of salvation? How about being content in whatsoever state you're in? Haven't I give you my life? What more do you want? Now listen to what he does. Listen. He caused an east wind to blow in heaven. Now God is above the principalities and powers. A wind in heaven. Now he's blowing up a storm. Now listen. And by his power he brought in the south wind. Now we're talking today about the move of the Holy Spirit, and here is God directing winds. Well, we call them crazy winds. Here's one coming from one way, one coming from another. Well, what did they bring? Listen. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like the land, like the sand of the sea. There must have been a lot of them. They must have been bumping into each other and falling over and everything else. You want flesh? You want a move of the flesh? You're not satisfied with spiritual manna, the best food that God has ever created for you? You're not satisfied with that cloud that covers you, not leads you? You're not satisfied with my protective hand? Well, all right, if you want flesh, you shall have it. Have at it. Now listen. And he let it fall in the midst of their camps, round about their habitations. So they did eat and were filled, for he gave them their own desire. Is that where Christianity is at? They have their own desire, and they desire more flesh? Can you satisfy the flesh? Have you ever tried to satisfy a person who's in the flesh? It cannot be done. You can baby them, you can coddle them, you can pull them up out of the bed, you can say it's time to get up, you can do everything there is to do, but I'll tell you something, you cannot satisfy the flesh. It will not be satisfied. It will keep coming back for more. It will yell out, God, I want more! And you know what? When the fowls come in, they'll be crying for some other kind of flesh. No, I'd like to have roast beef. Bring some steers in this time. How many are hearing this? How about some fish? And it goes on and on and on and on. Never, ever try to satisfy your flesh. It can't be done. Deny the flesh. Bear a cross and follow me. Well, if you can't get up out of bed, you can't follow Jesus. You hearing this, sluggards? It's 1:45 right now, and you're listening to this, and you're laying in bed. I'm not afraid of you turning me off because you're too lazy to roll over and do it. Say amen, somebody. It's the truth, isn't it? Now listen. So they did eat and were well fed, for he gave them their own desire. And they were not estranged from their lust. It did not satisfy them. Did not satisfy them. That is like a person that you know, overeats. Are they ever satisfied? Or when I was drinking, was I ever satisfied? No. But listen, but while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them, and he slew the fattest of them. The fattest cat in the whole bunch went down. I mean, the most healthy. And smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this, they sinned still and believed not his wondrous works. And he goes on, therefore, their days did he consume in vanity, and their years in trouble. That's when they started to seek him again. When he had left them. Oh, you didn't leave them. I'm talking about, you know, sometimes you hide yourself from your kids. You move to another city. And so let's start to recognize the Holy Spirit in our preaching. And let's start to say, God, not my will be done. Are you hearing this? But your will be done. And so, I think we need to recognize the Holy Spirit when we move. When we sit, when we lay, when we think, when we speak, when we rise up, when we lie down. Otherwise, you're going to be thinking fleshiness. You're going to be thinking self. Oh, I'm so miserable, I don't believe it. Why are you miserable? You've been trying to satisfy yourself. It cannot be done. God, you can't do it. Can't do it. Hearing it? Have you ever tried to satisfy someone? You people out there know that. Sometimes if you have children and you give them this and this and this and this, are they ever satisfied? Are we ever satisfied? There is only one satisfaction. I'm talking about spiritually speaking now. The bread of life, Jesus Christ, is the only one that can satisfy you. Isn't there a song like that? Oh, Daddy, I want a diamond ring, fur coat, and everything. I want the very best for me. Do you think that woman was satisfied? Never. Now she wants a shorty coat. Now she wants diamonds on every finger. Bells on every toe. You cannot satisfy the flesh, and there's a whole lot of so-called spiritual people running around that are soulish, and they are calling on God to do something for them, and do something to other people too, by the way. And so today, let's bring out three things in this text, minor lessons in the text. The lessons of the mystery of the Holy Spirit, and it certainly is a mystery. We don't know how he comes and when he goes or what he's doing. We just know there's a move. And then also the mystery of the man born of the Holy Ghost. Is that a mystery? It is. And it is said, so is the work of the Spirit, but so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. See, the child of a mystery is himself a mystery. Aren't people mysteries that are born again? Now they jest about being born again on TV and on the radio. And I can see why they do, because people sometimes do goofy things. Christians do. So number one, let's get into the minor lessons and listen. The Spirit of God is, like I said, like the wind. His operations are unexpected. You never know when he's going to blow into town. Never. And in the land, we know not which way the wind will blow. Do you know which way the wind's going to blow? You know, there can be a shift in the winds. You ever listen and listen to the weatherman, Van, the weatherman, or whoever, Claudia, or whoever. He gets all done. Well, it looks this cycle here, and this front's moving in here, and this is should hit about 17:01, something like that. It should be here at a certain time, and huh? And all of a sudden it doesn't happen. There's a shift of the wind. That's just like when people pray for revival. Or I think that's the only thing they can do, because they never know when it's going to happen. That's like saying, we are going to have revival. And so we put a sign out there, we are going to have revival meetings. And so we bring somebody in the town in hopes that we'll have a revival meeting. God is the one that causes revival. Have you ever seen revival where you didn't think it was going to happen? You weren't praying, you weren't doing anything. And all of a sudden, there was a revival in your very own house. You said, wow, what a blessing. Now, Christians, they call it, what a blessing! Boy, that was a blessing! And they're always looking to be blessed all the time. They'll be blessed when God gets ready to bless them. And people are always like, Lord, I just know the Lord's going to bless me. Well, why not pray for the Lord to bless Africa or bless somebody else sometime? Shouldn't that bless you? I'm blessed! Putting your scare right out of your shoes, some of these people. How are you? Saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the end of the conversation right there. You can't talk to them. They're so puffed up, you can't even get through to them. End of conversation. Very, very fleshy. Go on home and kick the dog. Throw a TV dinner in for hubby. Asparagus sprouts with cream beans, something real yummy like that, you know. And so it blows wherever it wishes. So we know not where to expect it. And that's like the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Holy Spirit right now is blowing on China, blowing on Africa, blowing on Greece. Blowing on backsliders. Blowing on government officials, little church bodies. Farm boy somewhere in Iowa. Holy Spirit catching him out there in the field. You remember back in your childhood where certain times in your life you felt a lifting? You didn't know what it was, and you just felt lifted, elated. Well, it was a touch and a move of the Holy Spirit is what it was. Well, I wasn't even saved then. The Holy Spirit knew. He knew you were predestined to be. He touched you. Isn't there a song like that? And all the joy that fills my soul suddenly, huh? It happened. And now I know, huh? To any one of you, are you expecting company? Be ready. Are you prepared or are you despaired? He blows whithersoever that he wants to and whenever he wants to. So learn to expect the unexpected. Some people are expecting trouble. Well, I just expect trouble to come. It's been the story of my life. God, it's just there. It's going to happen to me all the time. Call on the Holy Ghost and don't provoke Him. Don't provoke Him by calling out for more meat. More. Hey, you can't handle that 2 cents you got. What are you crying for $1 million for? That really zonk you out. You hearing this? He provided the bread of life, Jesus Christ. Surely He can provide these other things for you. What else do you need? Isn't He your riches? You know what the ransoms of your riches? Do you know what the treasure is? The treasure is your life. Everybody's looking for a treasure. Your treasure is your life. And the life that I now live, I live in faith. The treasure is your life. What are you doing with your treasure? Are you investing it in the kingdom of God? Where is your investment? Is it in flesh? Is it in your moods? I got a mood. I picked up a mood. Well, get out of that mood. Don't cry on God for more things. It hasn't satisfied you. Don't cry for more flesh. Don't cry for more meat. Cry for that spiritual manna. Cry for more of Jesus. I'm afraid to. I call on Jesus and I have to enter into some kind of suffering. You're suffering now, aren't you? Why not suffer for the cause of Christ, for the joy that's before you? Whoever told you that this world was a bed of roses, by the way, and I'm talking to radio audiences too, if you wonder what I'm doing here. Whoever told you that the life that you now live is a bed of roses? It's a life of faith. And how will you ever know unless this faith is tried and tested? Unless it has opportunities come. You have an opportunity to go through. You have an opportunity to run the race. You have an opportunity to suffer for the joy that's before you, but you got to pick up on those opportunities. See, everything is an opportunity. Now you have an opportunity to be happy. You going to take it? You're going to sit there calling for, oh, I want more of me, more misery. Huh? Misery loves company. And so there's only one thing worse than a miserable person, and that's two miserable people. There's only one thing worse than two miserable people, and that's a whole house full of miserable people. Or a city, or a country, or a world. You in that wheelchair listening to me right now, expect the unexpected. Expect the Holy Spirit to visit you. You backsliders that are listening, expect the Holy Spirit. Oh, I'm sitting in the bar. He'll come in and you'll go out. If you are predestined to be saved, elected before the foundation of the world was even founded, and you won't listen, he'll blow you right out of this earth. You go right to be with the Father. He doesn't monkey around. It's called predestination. It's called election. I will bless who I want to bless. I will blow on who I want to blow on. And I will curse who I want to curse. Don't tell me what to do, God says. He blows wherever he wishes. And maybe you're next. Because the Holy Spirit is sovereign. He'll have mercy on whoever he wants. Never command the Holy Spirit to blow or how to blow. But say it and say it from your heartfelt meaning. Say, God, have your own way. Your will be done. See, we've lost that because everybody knows God's will. They're like the weatherman. They're experts. Well, we got radar. We can check God out. We know exactly what he's going to do, and we know the promises, and we claim them. Sunny day. Huh? Is it? Look out. Here comes a tornado. Spiritually speaking, we don't know any more about the move of the Holy Spirit than the weatherman. He's going to blow wherever he wants to blow. And that's why we have to pray for the move of God and the will of God. But I think next, the Spirit of God is comparable to the wind because of its variety of operations. Does the wind always blow the same? We want everybody to blow the same.
Well, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Why aren't you blow hard? Why don't you blow the same way? Why don't you speak the same way you do? Why don't you act the same way you do? Why don't you have a three-piece suit, Pastor Paul, and carry your Bible around and look real spiritual? Huh? Because that's not me.
I'm Paul filled with the Holy Spirit. You're Marty filled with the Holy Ghost. And you and all of you. You're diversified. Sometimes the wind is sort of soft and mild. It brings us the summer heat. Sometimes it's sharp and it's cold and brings the winter winds. Yes, each born again, filled with the Spirit person is a very great mystery. Are you amazed at yourself sometimes? Are you? Can you explain your first birth? Can you explain it? Oh, sure. My mother and dad got together and they had me. Oh, simple, 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 simple. I think about my parents. One had to come from one country, one from another, and they had to meet smack dab in the middle. Right in the middle of the United States. 20 years difference in their age. One 38, one 18. Think about that. And think about life and about, did you have anything to do with it? Did you have anything to do with your birth? Well, I decided to be born, and I said, Steve, over here in Greece, up there in that tree, that fig tree, come on over. And you over there kissing on the Blarney Rock, you come on over this way. When a body meet a body, coming through the rye, huh? Yeah, not too simple, is it, when you think about the workings of the Lord? Mysteries. And so each one of you are mysteries. You like to curl up with a good mystery? Do you? Well, that's what you do every time you pick up your child or you snuggle up together. You're snuggling up to a mystery. Don't try to figure yourself out. You know why? You'll go nuts. You ever try to figure yourself out? Well, let me see. Why am I the way I am? Did you ever try to figure yourself out? You want to go completely zonks? Try to figure yourself out. Oh, you can blame it onto somebody else. You made me do it. I didn't want to do it. You made me do it. Huh? No, you're all mysteries. God is the only one that can unravel that mystery, by the way. Are you hearing this? God is the only one. He's the one that writes the book, it says. He is the author and finisher of your mystery. You two going to try to figure it out? Why not just give your life to God? Say, God, here's a mystery. Put the pages together here. There's got to be a beginning, and there's got to be a building up, and then there's got to be a climax, and then there's got to be a finale. There's got to be all of those things. See, but we want to get right in the middle, get the good part. Oh, skip all these pages and all this suffering and everything, and get to the good part. Yeah, it ain't the way it is. It don't make good reading. Don't make good copy either. No, there's got to be a building up, and there's got to be a story built. Bible says you are the walking, talking epistles, known and read of all men. Walking, talking. See, you're changing every day. Did you ever say to someone, you'll never change? They're changing. Neither getting better or meaner, one of the two. But you are changing every day. I don't look in the albums anymore because I can see how much I've changed. Huh? I mean, it's physical part of you is changing. Is that you, Dad? You open up the album. Kids go through. Is that you? Do you ever look funny? And you got hair. Look how skinny you are there. You out there listening, have you ever liked to, you like to go back to the first of your life? Not me. I'm glad it's winding down. I don't know about you. See, I'm going to get out of this old tent someday. This earthly covering. The Holy Spirit's just going to blow me away. Whisk me out of here. I hope it happens. Now, most people would say, I hope it happens tonight. If it happened tonight, they'd be screaming and hanging on to the bedposts and everything. No! You know why? They love themselves that much. They love their misery. You experience changes in your own natural life, right? Can you explain them? Your born-again experience is changing you. Can you explain it? No. And so sometimes the Holy Spirit comes in like a wind, but in very versatile. You know what I mean? It can be a tornado, a whirlwind, a soft breeze, a cold wind. But then that's the Holy Spirit's business, isn't it? And so we'll find ourselves saying, what now, God? You're going to stay right back in your head. You hearing this? Aren't we a mystery? Aren't we a riddle? Aren't we a seeming paradox? A regenerate man in a corrupt body. And so many times we try to act like our body isn't corrupt. Don't try to confine your body and say, this body is perfect, it is not corrupt. It is. It is, and it always will be. That's why you must be led of the Spirit. Say amen, somebody. Do you know which way is going to blow you? See, a lot of times in our fleshy thinking, we think, well, this wouldn't look good. And so I have to do this and I have to do that. So my flesh will look good. And God is calling you to do something. You look at the men in the Bible all the way down the line down there. Look at Jesus. God, come in the flesh. Whew. Imagine that, stepping down from heaven, from the throne. Oh, listen to this message today. Are you hearing it? I mean, the man that lives near to God is a mystery, more or less at all times. If you're living close to God, you are a mystery because you're moved by the Holy Ghost. And moved by the Holy Ghost means that you can't be figured out. You're a mystery in a mystery. He's not all that he desires to be. I know that. He's not all that he hopes to be, but he is far beyond what he ever expected to be. We don't even give credit to the Lord sometimes. Well, I desire to be much more, God. Lord, I wanted to be out there with the big names. Lord, I had hopes. I'm not all that I hope to be. But I think when I look back in retrospect that I'm far beyond what I ever expected to be in the Lord. Never ever expected to be anything. Don't strange impulses move us at times? Things we can't account for, we do. Why? Who knows? The Holy Spirit moves us up, 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 and it says we soar. We have wings like that of an eagle. But then without warning, the wind shifts and stills, and down we go. Oh, no. Ha, 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 ha. Down, huh? Yeah, I think some of us know very well what it's like to run before Ahab's chariot with Elijah. But also, we know how it is to lay under the juniper tree, wishing to die. Oh, God, take me. No, you're not done yet. Back in the fire. No, there's still a foot hanging out there, or elbow, a big fleshy elbow or a foot. Back in the fire, not pure gold yet. See, the Christian man really does not understand himself. And so he's like, let me see now, why did I do that? Don't try to figure yourself out. You see, but our varying experiences go to make up the sickness of self and the very fondness of Jesus Christ, which is so desirable. Let's look at someone today. Let's look at Elijah briefly. A man with downs. Elijah was down. Yeah, he had real down times. The man with the I have failed attitude. A man with the blues. In James it says, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. What? I hear someone saying over the radio, this can't be. Why, he had great courage, I hear him saying. He put his finger in King Ahab's face and made his face grow white. What do you call that? And look at his victory up on Mount Carmel. Look how he was taken up in his chariot and all. But when we read about this great prophet who then sat under the juniper tree, fearful, depressed, hateful, nervous, twitchy, all alone. Have you ever felt that way all alone? All alone, I'm so all alone. Sometimes we like to be all alone. Why don't you come on over? No, I don't feel like it. No, Sometimes parents feel like that way. They get to feeling like nobody wants them. No, we get a little older, nobody wants me. I'm old, now I'm a drag and a bore. And just old grandma. Hi, Graham. Oh, grandma's here again. That's their version of it. Sometimes we like to be alone so we can get more flesh feeling, flesh flashes. And we can sit, well, where are the kids? Well, this is the thanks I get for raising these children. They all hate me, hate my guts. Never could stand me, really. Try to be a good mother, and this is the thanks I get. Oh, God. I've got a right to sing the blues. Oh, I've got a right to sing the blues down along the river. Huh? And then you kind of like that. So that was pretty good. Let's go to another chorus. Oh, I've got a right. And then someone will come and join you and you harmonize together. And you get in a great big club and you get into an old people's club someplace. We've got a right to sing the blues. And, you know, a whole room full of gray-haired folks and bald-headed people like myself. We've got a right to sing the blues. Let's have blues testimony time. Come on, Fred. Paddle your flesh up here and let's hear about how people have been treating your old flesh. Why not get up and shout the victory and say, praise God? I don't particularly like to be around all them screaming young people anyway. Give me something to do for the Lord. I'll go over once a month and see them, but I ain't going to stay over all day begging people to run up. Huh? Say amen, somebody. Get something to do, old folk. Some young folks is old folks. Some old folks is young folks. Isn't there a song like that? For the young at heart? I won't sing it.
That was part one, A Spiritual Wind. Be sure to listen to the conclusion, part two, on Sunday. Better yet, subscribe to Pastor Paul's podcast at www.pastorpaul.org. At the top of the homepage, you'll find the link. God bless you and have a great weekend.
Oh, man.